You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
A lot of you are saying that the Heat blew that game last night against Portland, that they blew it. I get it. They led by 16, not once, but twice. They led by 16 points. Two times in that game, two separate occasions, they were up 16 points. Once in the first half, once in the second half. And they blew it. Eric Spoelstra after the game basically said they blew it. A lot of you are saying they blew it. It's not entirely true, though, because Portland outplayed the Heat for a majority of that game. And I want to recap the Heat's loss to the Trailblazers last night. We're going to get to your Twitter comments later on, and then we're going to rank the top eight teams in the East as we do every Thursday. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm the former editor of AllYouCanHeat.com. I'm a credentialed writer covering the Miami Heat and the NBA for the Step Back, FanRag Sports, and Miami Heat Tip Off Magazine. We're recapping today the Heat's 102-95 loss to the Trailblazers. Again, they led by 16 points twice, but failed to win that game. It would have been their third straight win in a row. It would have been a real feel-good streak. Everybody would have left that game feeling great. Instead, they don't. They lose the game. And a lot of you are saying they blew it. But they didn't. I mean, they did. They should have won that game. But it's not like they were outplaying Portland and then suddenly the Trailblazers in the last few minutes stole the game. That wasn't the case. That's not what happened last night. That's not what happened here. It's not like Portland suddenly got hot in the last 9 minutes and stole the game. Miami almost stole the game because they got hot in the first 12 minutes. Specifically, Wayne Ellington. So Wayne Ellington in the first quarter goes off. He makes 5 of 5 three-point attempts in the first quarter. So he scores 15 points in 13 minutes in the first quarter and the start of the second quarter. He does that. Outside of Wayne Ellington just going nuclear for 13 minutes, Portland outplayed Miami, and it wasn't even close. People, it was not even close. Miami won the first quarter, 33-21. Outside of that, and most of those points, most of that was because of Wayne Ellington. Outside of that first quarter, Portland won every quarter after. They won the second quarter, 29-27. The third quarter, 20-19. And the fourth quarter, 32-16. And Damian Lillard didn't even play well until the fourth quarter. Miami was thoroughly outplayed in that game. They did not let that game slip away. They were outplayed. Portland is just better. Both of those teams enter that game 13-13, but I said it in the preview. Portland isn't playing in the West, and they are just better. They are a better team. They are better at basketball, and they showed it. And the reason why, they are. Even as both of those teams are .500 entering that game, the difference between Portland and Miami is that Portland has two superstar players. They are much better than the Heat. We could talk about depth. We could talk about all of that. And by the way, Portland has depth. They also were playing that game. Let's not even use the Whiteside excuse. Portland was playing that game with their third string center. Not even their backup center. Their third string center, who was starting. They were on the road, coming from across the country. Miami had every reason to win that game, but Portland is just, they didn't let it slip away. Portland is just a better basketball team. And it's okay that the Heat lose that game to a better basketball team. It sucks. They should have won the game, right? That Wayne Ellington raining of threes was an anomaly. Wayne Ellington is a great three-point shooter. We know that, but you can never count on somebody scoring 15 points in 13 minutes going 5 of 5 from three-point range. You just can't. That's not a thing that happens. But if it does happen, you put yourself in a really good shot to win that game. Miami should have stole that game. If the Heat would have won, they would have stole that game. That's how that would have been. Portland is just, they played them better. That's what happened. Damian Lillard. They've got a superstar player like Damian Lillard. CJ McCollum keeps him in that game for most of the game. He goes, he scores 28 points on 16 shots. He goes to the free throw line, goes 7-7 from the free throw line. He is doing all the things. He is plus 15 in the box score, highest on the Portland Trailblazers team. He keeps them in the game, the whole game. He keeps them in the game. Lillard comes in and just nail in the coffin. That's what Damian Lillard does. 9 points in the fourth quarter. And it's not like they got tricky. It's not like they did anything dramatically different between the first three quarters and the last quarter. They just went isolation. They just let their guys do it. Damian Lillard scored 9 points in the final few minutes of that game. 9 points in the fourth quarter. He scored 9 points in the entire game before that. Nobody could stop him. He took over the game for Portland. He did what he had to do to get Portland that win. And the Heat don't have a guy like that. They don't. They want Damian Lillard, or they want Deion Waiters to be that, but he's not. And he had a bad fourth quarter. He made poor decisions. He didn't shoot well. Goran Dragic just isn't that right now. I mean, he's been struggling. And that's the difference between even a 500 team like Portland and a 500 team like the Heat. Portland has guys that could take over. And Miami, outside of a miracle last few minutes against Golden State, where Deion Waiters was that, outside of that, they just don't really have that guy. And that's the difference. We're going to talk about Deion Waiters and Goran Dragic a little bit more when we get to your Twitter comments. But first, holiday cash. You need it, and I know where to get it. MyBookie is the place to score serious cash on your sports predictions. In case you missed it, the holidays are just around the corner, and while that means plenty of parties, gifts, and spending, it also means there's a lot of football, basketball, and hockey games that you could score big on every day. Play like the pros on game day. You can play the money line, the side, or total. MyBookie is your hookup for all of your betting needs and offers super fast payouts when you win. Where you bet is just as important as what you're betting on, and if you want to make money betting the games, you've got to go to mybookie.ag. They're the only site that I would recommend. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. They have odds on every matchup and a mobile site that makes wagering on your smartphone a breeze. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. All you have to do is use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate that offer. So visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. We're going to get to the countdown of the top 8 teams in the East a little bit later, but first we're going to get to your Twitter comments. Our first one comes from Taylor Monk on Twitter. Deion Waiters' contract is going to be unmovable. He's out of shape and a step slow. He should have had surgery. He's just not the same. Look, that's an interesting thing to bring up. Deion Waiters does not look the same. He doesn't look as quick. He doesn't seem to have maybe the endurance or the stamina that he does towards the end of games anymore. And that was a major concern, was that he elected not to get that ankle surgery after he hurt his ankle at the end of last season, right? And he elected not to get the surgery. And that's a concern. And his ankle is bothering him at the beginning of the season. And he's not saying that it's bothering him now, but I wouldn't be surprised if it is. I'm not saying it is, but I wouldn't be surprised if it is. I mean, he came out and basically was honest and said that his ankle was bothering him at the start of the season. And all the beat writers and us on the show, we started talking about it. Like, is this good? Should he have had the surgery? And of course, everybody gets all worried about it. So of course, he's not going to say anything anymore if his ankle is bothering him, because we're all going to freak out if he does. It wouldn't surprise me if it were. But it's almost irrelevant if it is bothering him, because he's still doing the same things. Like, I don't care if your ankle bothers you. That shouldn't impact you making poor decisions. You know, if anything, he should be more passive if his ankle's bothering him. And he's not. You know, he, at the end of that Trailblazers game, he hijacked the offense several times to shoot a long two. or kind of drive to the rim with no real destination. And that's always, you know, the difference between Goran Dragic and even Tyler Johnson sometimes and Deion Waiters is it sometimes feels like Waiters is just driving and then deciding when he's in the moment what to do. He's got no plan, it seems like, a lot of times. And if he does, he doesn't do a good job of executing it. He kind of just probes towards the rim, drives towards the rim with his head down, just kind of barrels towards it. And he'll look for the first person he sees and just try to kick out that way. Dragic just seems a little bit more like he's got more of an idea of what he wants to do before he does it. Look, sometimes it works in Waiters' favor. His irrational confidence, as we know, sometimes he'll just jack up a three, and it's never a good three-pointer. It's not like, oh, that's a good shot. That hardly ever happens, but sometimes it goes in, and then the whole, you know, Philly cheese thing, and that's what happens. But, you know, I understand that you want a guy like that to take over in the last couple of minutes, and you want to give him that chance to do so. Because there is something to Deion Waiters in those last few minutes. I'm not taking that away from him. He is clutch sometimes, you know, and a lot of times you're not going to get a lot of good shots. So it's not like it's not like there's wide open shots everywhere else on the floor and he's taking bad ones. So it's hard to get good shots in the last few minutes of any basketball game, right? And so there's something to be said of a guy who can make contested shots, and he does that better than anybody else on the Heat. And that's why the ball isn't in his hand so often at the end of games. But if he is clearly not having it, and he clearly did not have it for any point of that Portland game, there was no point where it looked like he was playing well. He finished with 17 points, but he needed 18 shots to get there. He was a minus 15 for the game. Worst on the team. There was no point where Waiters was having a good game. You got to put the ball in somebody else's hands. Wayne Ellington probably should have been in the game over Deion Waiters at the end of that game. Wayne Ellington had a good game. Played good defense, had 24 points, 7 of 10 from three-point range. Had a good game. Ellington spaces the floor a little bit more, which Dragic could have used to drive to the rim against Portland's third-string center. Sometimes you just got to pull the plug and say, look, you don't have it tonight. Spoelstra has been more than willing to bench Dragic at the end of games, and he needs to show willingness to do that with Deion Waiters, and that's what should have happened tonight, but it didn't. My next Twitter comment here comes from Jeff Nicholas. So Waiters/Dragic was pretty much an equal partnership last year in terms of usage, but right now things are skewing way towards Waiters, and I think that has something to do with this. This doesn't seem like the normal minutes. What are your thoughts? And then he includes some stats here. Dragic's last seven games, other than the Golden State game in which he was just had his three-point shot going, Dragic's field goal percentage in the last seven games, other than the Golden State game, 36% from the field, 12% from three-point range, 64% from the free throw line. I didn't double-check those stats, but those, just from off the top of my head, that feels right. That seems like that would be the case. Either way, he's been struggling. And I've harped on the usage rating thing on here, and I've written about it a lot. It's skewed too much towards Waiters. And I don't know. I've talked about it too many times. That's true. And the Heat need to figure out a way to make that not true. There's too many times where Goran Dragic is not bringing up the ball, and it's either Deion or Josh Richardson or James Johnson or just somebody that's not as good as Goran Dragic at that, bringing the ball up. And I don't know if the idea is for Dragic to play more off of the ball or to give him rest. And that seems to be a theme here. I mean, Eric Green and Tony Fiorentino, they've commented about this in the last two or three games, that Dragic comes out early in the game, right? He comes out with about 6 or 7 minutes into the first quarter every game, and that's to sort of rest him for the second half. But it's not like he's playing super well in the second half. It does seem like the Eurobasket tournament over the summer, where he led Slovenia to gold medal and was the MVP of that tournament, it seems like maybe that has taken a toll. Maybe there's an injury that he's dealing with that we don't know about. I don't know what it is, but he is not, I mean, he's not, he needs to be rested in the first, it's not even middle of December, and he's got to be rested already. And that's not a good sign. It's not going to get easier from here on out. I mean, and that might have to do a lot with why he's struggling right now, because other than that, he doesn't have a lot of lift on his shot. He doesn't have a lot of, he's not probing as much as he used to. You know, he's settling for a lot more mid-range shots. He's not drawing as much contact even as he used to, whether or not the foul is called or not. It seems like he is tired. He is fatigued. And I don't know how that gets better. I don't know at what point. I don't know if you just need to just sit him for a few games. Like, just sit him for a week. Let him just take that LeBron James sabbatical for a week. Maybe that's what they got to do, because he's got to be ready to go at the end of those games. Because Dion Waiters certainly can't be relied on a night-to-night basis. We'll get our countdown of the top teams in the East coming up next. Lots of changes from last week. But first, quick reminder, make sure that you've subscribed to Locked On Heat on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a review on iTunes. It helps other Heat fans discover the show. Also, be sure to check out the rest of what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer, including shows for every NBA and NFL team. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. All right, as we do every Thursday, we're going to count down the top eight teams in the East. I don't have David with me today to argue with, so it's just going to be my rankings. I'm sure his will be a little bit different. I'll ask him about it the next time he's on the show. But no major changes at the top here. Boston, Cleveland, Toronto are the top three teams in the East. They are a level above anyone else in the East. Everything else is very fluid, you know. And the next five are going to be different. They're going to be mostly the same teams, but in a different order than the last few weeks. Boston, Cleveland, Toronto, those are the most complete teams in the East. You know, Cleveland, they don't have a great defense, but they've figured out their rotation. They've got LeBron, obviously. They are playing the best basketball they have all season. Boston hasn't missed a beat. Toronto is playing the best they have all season. They've got a great... They still have a great starting lineup with Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, and they've got... And that youth, the bench that they've got, that is just... is really developing to a point where they can rely on it. So they're dangerous. Number four, I've been high on this team all season, is the Washington Wizards. I like it. I like them when they have John Wall. They're 15-13 right now. They're 500 in the last 10 games. They're 5-5. But their point differential is fourth in the conference at a plus 2.3. I think that they're the fourth best team when healthy, when all cylinders are in gear there. John Wall and Bradley Beal, that's as good as a backcourt as there is in the Eastern Conference. You know, I think that when those guys are good and they've got Otto Porter as a third option, who's just a knockdown shooter and gets a lot of shots in space, they're really hard to stop. And defensively, they're good enough with Wall and Porter at the point of attack, and Marcin Gortat, who's just solid in the middle, that they could stand up to any team in the East defensively. So Washington, I have at four, even though they're maddeningly inconsistent. I still have them at four because of their upside. At five, I've got the Milwaukee Bucks. I still love their upside with Eric Bledsoe, Giannis. Defensively, they have a lot of holes, but they're getting better. They can be really good defensively. I've got them at five because of their upside. At six, I've got the Indiana Pacers, and I barely put them at eight last week. I barely put them at eight. I really wanted to put Miami at eight ahead of them. But they're 16-12. They're 10-5 at home. They take care of home court. And Victor Oladipo is a all-star player. I mean, he is a good... It is amazing. I mean, there's been a bunch of stories about how he's changed his physique and he's gotten into shape and he's a better finisher now and he's fixed his jump shot and he's more, you know, just more athletic and everything when he's going to the rim. He is a bona fide all-star. He is a good player. And that is incredible. And everybody else, they've got Miles Turner there. Domantas Sabonis has been a nice addition for them. They've got enough guys there to flank Victor Oladipo. Darren Collison is just a replacement level point guard. He just gets the job done. You know, he's just good enough to be there and not be a major negative. I've got Indiana at 6. Surprisingly, I have Philadelphia at 7. Their point differential is a negative. They're in a bit of a rut right now. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, they're still as good as a young duo as there is in the league. But I wonder about that youth sometimes. I've had Philadelphia as high as 4 in these rankings. I have them down to 7. It wouldn't surprise me next week if I had them back at 4. If they can kind of get things rolling again. But again, 4-6 in the last 10, I kind of had to bump them down a little bit. And speaking of bumping down a little bit, Detroit, I've got it 8. 3-7 in the last 10 games. I've mentioned this before. I'm not a believer in the Pistons. I don't trust them. I want to like them. I really do. I like Stan Van Gundy. I want to like the Pistons. I just don't. I just think that their system is a little antiquated. You know, there's only so many times you can run pick and roll between Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond before opposing teams figure it out. And they switched it up. They switched up at the start of the season. They brought Andre Drummond a little bit higher. They were doing a lot more high screens. They got flexible with what they were doing. They lead the league in dribble handoffs per game. Above, you know, the Heat are the only team. The Heat are second. So the Pistons are the only team that run more dribble handoffs than Miami. And that's a lot of what they changed this year. But I think the rest of the league maybe caught on to what they were doing. And so that is reflected in the last losing 7 of their last 10 games. So they're struggling. So I've got them at 8. Miami not quite in there. New York not quite doing it. I'm not a believer in New York. So that's my top 8. Boston, Cleveland, Toronto, the top 3. Then it goes Washington, Milwaukee, Indiana, Philadelphia, and Detroit. But for now, and with that, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. You can send mailbag questions for next week and inquire about advertising on the show by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions and comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time.